Welcome to Hochoka Podcast.
Hello, Mitake Yepi, and welcome to Hochoka, here at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus. I'm Scott Wooster, today's Hochoka host. We're glad you've joined our circle to hear from Maha Black Elk, Executive Director of Truth and Healing at Red Cloud Indian School. In this first of a two-part series, he will speak with us about efforts at Red Cloud and across the country to address the legacy of boarding schools for Native Americans and why it is vital to undertake this sensitive issue. He explains that Truth and Healing isn't a program, but it's a new way of being that opens the door for healing and for transformation to begin. He describes the process and the call to be institutions of dialogue. So I say, Maha, welcome once again to Hochoka.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Uh-huh. So for those who don't know, can you just give us a little idea of who you are, a little bit about your background, and then a little bit about your current work that you're doing now?
Absolutely. So yes, my name is Maha Black Elk. I'm the Executive Director for Truth and Healing at Red Cloud Indian School. And what that means is I am responsible for helping lead our institution in conjunction with our community in Pine Ridge through a process that addresses our history as a former Indian boarding school at Red Cloud. So Red Cloud was a former Indian boarding school that opened its doors in 1888 as Holy Rosary Mission, run by the Jesuits and still affiliated with the Jesuits today, and has been in operation since, though we ceased our boarding efforts in 1980 when our final students who boarded and transitioned fully to a day school and have been ever since. I myself am a graduate of Red Cloud back in 2005. I'm from Pine Ridge, the community, and grew up there. So this work is personal for me and something that I think is very important for us as an institution, for us as a ministry of the Catholic Church, in our relationship with the Jesuits, and for, I think, our future as a Catholic Lakota school.
Okay. You also, we talked in a different podcast a little bit about you have two sides of the faith that you grew up with, and that informs who you are as an adult now, and I'm sure it informs the work that you do. And as a Catholic boarding school where you are, Red Cloud has a history that's just like any other really in the United States, not necessarily Red Cloud, but the Catholic boarding school history. And it's very, very complex. It's not a simple history to be able to sort out. And I think any schools that were run by churches on reservations, regardless of their denomination or their affiliation, have some of that complex history. Why has the Indian boarding school's history grown, especially recently in the national and international conversation, so much in let's say the last year?
Yeah, it's definitely a part of a bigger complex history that now people outside of that history, people who've not known about the history, especially a lot of non-Indigenous peoples in this country, are just now starting to face. And there's a very specific reason for that. One, our neighbors to the north, Canada, went through their own process of a nationwide truth and reconciliation process to address their own history of running residential schools, what they call residential schools, for First Nations people across the Canadian territory. They did that back in the early 2000s, and that finished in 2015. Mm-hmm. And as a part of that process, the Canadian government has been, collecting stories from residential school survivors, documenting and opening their records and analyzing the history. And what sort of came as a culmination and a sort of a national conversation for Canada was this past summer, the sort of rediscovery of just numerous individual graves for Native students who had died at these schools and were buried there and whose markers have now faded and or have deteriorated and are gone. And so there's these unmarked graves sort of across these different schools. That has sort of hit the national attention, mm-hmm. and it's, I think, spread to the United States, where this history is very similar. In fact, originates here. Mm-hmm. The United States is the country that started these schools,
right?
That Canada modeled theirs after. And so the conversation is now happening here, and it's something that, you know, it's unfortunate that it takes these kinds of recognitions of historic tragedies to mm-hmm. to bring some of this to light. I think of, you know, for example, many Americans didn't know recently about the Tulsa Race Massacre, for example. And mm-hmm. that's been something that now more people are learning about and hearing about for the first time. It's very similar to that. People are now hearing for the first time something that Native people have known for a long time.
I think it's a shame that it took something like that to bring this to the attention of so many people. Why do you think that it's mainly been unknown or even flat out ignored by most Americans?
Well, it's not the history that most Americans themselves have experienced, right? This is, Native peoples are the ones who went through this history themselves personally, and it's part of their own story. And that's, often not what people understand or learn. And, Native peoples are learning about Native peoples in the United States is limited to a very, very discrete and specific mm-hmm. events in history. People learn about maybe Wounded Knee. People learn about, westward expansion. They maybe learn about the French and Indian Wars. And that's it. That's maybe the extent of what they learn. And so this is not something that people have been taught. And so it's not necessarily their fault that they don't know about this history. But it's just not something that they've been told before, and now it's time.
Right. And even I grew up in South Dakota and was not taught any of this when I was a kid either. And so when I came here at 25 years old, I knew very little. And I think I'm more in touch with it. I've been here 28 years of, ingratiating myself into, with families and students that have lived this history or had ancestors who lived this history as well. So I've been exposed to it a ton. Another shame.
It's a difficult history to face, and often we don't want to face difficult histories. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that we recognize that it's central to Indigenous people's history. Mm-hmm. And I think in shaping of this country and how Indigenous peoples have come to be where they are today, it's vital to know that. And so I think it's important for even just broader cultural understanding that many Americans learn about this, and I'm glad that they finally are.
Absolutely. So you're at Red Cloud, and you're beginning to do this work. You have been for a couple of years now. And I'm at St. Joe's, and we have a lot of similarities between those two schools. But how do we, as organizations, go about that process of truth and healing, or what are the essential elements of that?
Yeah, I think it's really important that, to begin with, we recognize that in this issue of truth and healing, truth comes first, mm-hmm. and there's a reason for that. Truth has to come first because it's one, as we mentioned, the story has been unheard or unknown, mm-hmm. right? And so people need to be able to share their stories and tell their stories. Those boarders themselves who experienced the boarding school need to be able to share their story, tell their story, have it be heard. And then our records and our archives need to become accessible to families so that mm-hmm. they can get access to their ancestors' stories as best as they can through those records and archives. Those are just two methods of approaching the sort of truth-telling phase. And there's more, but that's essentially the two primary tasks, is to face that history, tell that history in all of its complexity, and really begin there before you move on to anything else. And so those are, I think, the essential components of that. So you really have to center the people who experienced it firsthand. Mm-hmm.
The story has to come from them. It has to be told in their words.
Absolutely.
So looking forward, and you mentioned, what do we do in the future? If you had a crystal ball of sorts to work with, what might this look like 10 years from now?
It's hard to say. I've always felt that in this process of truth and healing work that we're doing at Red Cloud, and I know that at St. Joe's you are all exploring as well, It's hard to know where this truly will go and how long it will last. I mean, I've always said that this is a process that could take anywhere from 5 years to forever. Mm-hmm. There are discrete things that we can do, right, like collection of testimony and experiences and the sharing of that, conversation around making records accessible and then doing that. Also, the process of even sharing one's own story and in all of the complexity that you can. It's that second element of the truth and healing work, the healing part. That's truly the unknown piece and the piece that we shouldn't jump ahead to try and quantify. Mm-hmm. Healing is ultimately an individual journey. Mm-hmm. It's not something that any institution, you know, St. Joseph's the school, Red Cloud the school, or the Catholic Church, or a tribal government, they can't force anyone to heal. What we can do as institutions is open the door to some of the things that people need in order to get closer to healing. And that will really depend on individuals and themselves and what they need. You know, we mentioned in another conversation the apology from Pope Francis. Apology is one tool that some people need, mm-hmm. That they need that acknowledgement, they need that apology, they need that level of recognition of their pain and their trauma and the institution's, you know, ownership of that. But that's not enough for other people. Mm-hmm. And so there needs to be a myriad of ways to approach an openness to approaching people and their needs. Also knowing that some people may never get there. Mm-hmm. Everyone's journey is individual, and some people, may take much longer, may not get to that place ever, and that's okay. But we as institutions, as these former Indian boarding schools, as these Catholic schools, I think it benefits us to really be open to what healing means, what it looks like, and making sure that we can do the things that help individuals get there.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get to be our definition of what that looks like.
No, definitely.
Maka, once again, thank you so much for being here in Ho-Choka with us today. And we thank you, our viewers, for joining us here in the Ho-Choka at the center of St. Joseph's Indian Schools campus, where we talk about issues central to Native American education today. Until next time, stay centered.